All right, how you guys doing this morning? All right, good. Okay, a little woos. All right, you guys ready for the big game tomorrow? Yeah. Okay, me too. All right, go Bucks. Had to say it. Had to get that out. My guess is that not all of you, but some of you might be like me, in the sense that once in a while, I mean, during an incredibly unique situation and under extreme circumstances, I mean, this almost never happens, okay, that once in a while you'll find yourself just a little bit frustrated. Does that ever happen? All right, to any of you? All right, a few. Okay, the rest of you guys are good. All right, I like that. I told you, it wouldn't be all, it'd be some. All right, weeks ago, I was driving Kate's van, which I don't drive that often, and she was with me. And as we're driving down the road, and we're going about like 60 or so, I can feel that something's just like off. You know what I'm talking about? Like, I'm just like, what is going on? Like, I could just feel something. And I'm trying to figure out, like, what this could be. And I asked her, I'm like, you feel that? Like, how long has that been going on? And she's like, what? What are you talking about? Does anybody, any of you husbands can relate to that once in a while? Okay. And I'm just like, you don't feel that? She's like, no. And I'm like, okay, well, something's off, all right? And so I'm trying to figure that out. Like, is it like an alignment issue or sway bar or like a bent rim or something like that? I'm like, okay, I gotta figure this out. In a couple weeks, Kate and I, we're getting ready to, we'll go down to D.C. for her family's Christmas. Okay, you guys know how that goes. And not a bad thing, just her gift exchange stuff is a mess, okay? And so, we're getting ready to go down there. So I want to get this all figured out before we drive this van down there. In fact, now that I think about it, maybe it wouldn't be the worst thing if we didn't make it, okay? Just saying. Then I won't have to go through the embarrassment of my themed gift. But anyway, so I'm like, okay, let's get this thing figured out. So I take it into a wheel place. That's where I'm going to start. That's where I think the issue is. And they look at it and they're like, hey, this van is like perfectly aligned. Everything seems to be good from the wheel standpoint. They say it's probably a mechanical issue, specifically with your engine. We think that's kind of moving around and you need tires. Okay. So I'm like, all right, okay. So I then take it from there and I take it to a mechanic friend, and he looks at it, and he does some stuff for me once in a while, and he's looking at it, and he's like, hey, mechanically, this looks fine, everything seems good, I think it's a wheel issue, and you need tires. And so I'm like, hey, well, I got the wheel people telling me it's a mechanical issue, I got the mechanic telling me that there's some wheel issue, so I'm not quite sure what's going on there, but they're both agree that I need tires, and it's one of those things some of you guys might understand, where it's just like, you know, the tires aren't good, but they're not horrible yet, you know? So I'm like, I could get like 6-7 months out of these and it'd be totally fine. I want to fix this problem before we go. I want to like rule that out. And so I've been trying to figure this out for a few weeks now, and it's been frustrating, you know? I'm like trying to figure that out. Just nothing's working. Everything, I'm kind of looking over all the things that both of those places have told me about, and everything seems fine. And so I don't quite understand what the issue is. And so last night I decided, hey, I got some time. I'm running out of time, by the way, because we're leaving in like 2 weeks, and sometimes to get it into a mechanic, you know, sometimes that's like a 2-week thing. And so my window is shortening on figuring this problem out. And so last night I take it to a tire shop, and I give them the measurements and everything and the numbers, and they're like, oh yeah, hey, we got 4 of those tires left. I'm like, okay, I'll take them. Let's do this. And so they're like, well, you could go ahead and buy the tires, but we can't put those tires on there for you. And I'm like, what? Okay, that doesn't help me that much, by the way. And so I'm like, well, you know, what do I got to do to get you to put the tires on? And they're like, well, you have to schedule an appointment at some point to do that. And for me, again, I feel the pressure of like, I'm running out of time here. So I'm like, okay, you can't just, you know, you guys can't do that tonight. And they're like, no, you know, we don't have enough help. And we're all booked, as I'm watching like 5 of them kind of standing around the counter. You know, I'm like, about all those guys, you know. I'm a little frustrated just at how this is all working. And so I'm like, okay, all right, so we'll do Monday morning. I'll go ahead and buy the tires now. Let's get this done. And so they go to ring me up, and they go back to get the tires, and all of a sudden they can't find the tires. And they come back. They're like, oh, no, we don't have any of those tires. And I'm like, okay, all right. So so I'm trying to figure things out to do. Again, I'm a little frustrated how this is all going. It's taking a while. And so I know that there's one of these shops in Fremont as well. And so I'm like, well, what can you check your system, which hasn't been super accurate so far, by the way. But can you check that and see if, like, Fremont, do they have any of these tires? And so they're, like, trying to figure it out. It's, like, a big, long thing. Several of them are working on that. They can't figure it out. And they're like, well, you know, we can't do that. And so they end up calling Fremont. And the Fremont says, yeah, we got four more left, okay? Same thing I've heard before. And so I'm like, okay. So I leave. I get on my phone. I call the Fremont shop, and I'm like, hey, I'm coming in. I'll be like 30 minutes away, or I'm like, I'll be there in like 30 minutes. I want this size tire. You should have four. Can you confirm that? They say, yeah, we have four of those. And I'm like, okay, I'll be there in 30 minutes. And then I ask them, hey, you know, when I get there, could you guys put those tires on? And they're like, well, of course. And I'm like, well, not all places do that day of, okay? And so I get there. And I go up to the counter and everything. I was talking to the lady, and I'm like, hey, I called in earlier. These are the tires that I need. I just need four of them. I'll be out of your way, you know, just trying to get this done real quick. And she's like, oh, yeah, I remember talking to you. Some guy just came in, and he bought them. And I'm like, oh, come on, you know. And so I'm like, okay, you know, all right, I'm a little frustrated at how this is all going. This is just last night. And so I'm like, okay. When will you have more? And she's like, well, we could order them in. They'll take a while. And she's like, well, let me go back there and let me check. She kind of walks around. It takes a little while. She comes back there. She's like, well, you know, we got three. I found three that weren't in the system. And I'm like, okay, well, three's not four, but I don't really want three, but maybe two. And I'm trying to, like, do the math. And then after a series of events, she actually found a fourth one. But it's like all this stuff. At this point, I'm frustrated. All right, I'm annoyed. I've spent a lot of time. I've driven a lot of places to make this happen. And I wouldn't say that I'm super, like, content at that moment. All right. And on top of that, I'm a pastor. So I'm like smiling the whole time. But inside, I'm like, you know, I'm like, dude, come on. Like, you know, maybe when I retire, I'll go work at a place like this and, like, fix it all. You know what I mean? Like, I'll be quick. And, you know, it's the last kind of thing that I think about. And, you know, I'm a pastor, so it's just like, well, bless you. You know, I'm like, thank God you found three. You know, like, I'm trying to be nice about everything. And I'm not sure if it's going to even help, okay? That's to be determined. I'll try to figure that out within the next day or two. But anyway, I got it all taken care of. But the idea of contentment just in general, it's an unbelievably important idea that God has an opinion on. And none of us, I don't think there's anybody of us, any one of us in this room that would say that we are good at it. All right, so the last few weeks we've been in a series where we've been looking at several well-known foundational truths, specifically well-known verses in the Bible that most of us in this room that at least we're somewhat familiar with. I mean, we've seen them before. Maybe we've seen them on a sign in a game. Maybe we've seen a football player reference it, or we've seen it on some billboard or something like that. Some of us maybe in this room, you have some of these verses that we've been walking through together memorized back when grandma used to drag you to Sunday school when you were just a little kid. And so you got all this down. But today we're looking at a specific verse. It's one of the most well-known verses that is usually used out of context. And we're going to try to flip that. We're going to look at what is exactly going on. We're going to be looking at the end of a letter that this guy named Paul wrote to a new church in this huge city called Philippi, which was in the Roman Empire. And while Paul is writing this letter, what I want you to remember throughout today is that Paul is writing this letter as he's in prison, okay? Now, I don't know if you've been to prison before, okay? Some of us have, because that's the kind of people we are. That's okay, all right? We are a church for everybody, but it's not ideal, okay? I think we can all agree on that. Like, we don't want to be arrested. We don't want to go to prison in general. That's where Paul is when he's writing this letter. And he's in a prison in Rome. For Paul, this church that he's writing, this church in this city called Philippi, this isn't just some ordinary church for Paul. All right, Paul knew these people. He actually started this church. He cared for these guys, and he knew them well. These guys were his friends. And on top of that, this church, kind of the context of why he's writing the letter specifically, is that this church was a church that frequently helped Paul financially. Meaning, while Paul traveled from town to town to town and city to city to city, telling people about what Jesus had just done just a few decades earlier, this church is supporting Paul and taking care of Paul so that he can do that. So he can eat and have places to stay and stuff like that. So that's one of the reasons why Paul is writing this letter, is he is just simply thanking them, all right? So this is where we're going to start in Philippians chapter 4. It's actually towards the end, right at the end of his letter. He says this. He says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly, which, by the way, I just want to point out, this word rejoiced, this word joy, Paul talks about throughout this letter. We call it a book, but throughout this letter, he mentions this word 16 times. All right, so this is a big, big deal that we need to have joy. We need to rejoice. We need to have joy in our life. Actually, just a few sentences before is another famous verse that probably a lot of us have memorized or we've heard back when we were a kid, where he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. You guys heard that before? Okay, all right. There's probably a Sunday school song written about that somewhere. And so joy is an important aspect of our life that I think a lot of Christians, a lot of us, neglect. By the way, can I just point this out? I've said this to you before. I think one of the best ways to judge spiritual maturity, okay, that's kind of what we all are going for. We want to be spiritually mature. We want to have a mature relationship with Jesus. I think one of the best ways to judge spiritual maturity is not through church attendance or memorized verses or doing a bunch of good stuff and being a really, really good person. Okay, I think one of the best ways to judge spiritual maturity is for us to look at your life and seeing how much joy that you have. Right? We are to live a joyful life. We are to have joy in our life. And joy, specifically joy, ties into the idea of contentment, which is obvious to us. So he says, I rejoice, I had joy, right, in the Lord greatly because once again you renewed your care for me and you were in fact concerned about me, but you lacked the opportunity to show it. He's basically saying, hey, I just want to let you know, you guys sacrificed, I get it, I received your gift. Okay, this would have been probably a form of money. He's saying, I received your gift and I just want to say thank you. Something that was a little bit different back then than it is today is that when you were under house arrest or if you were in prison, like what Paul's at, you had to support yourself, okay, which is kind of hard to do when you're under arrest. And so what you would have to have is you'd have to have family and friends who would take care of you and help support you financially so that you could have food to eat, okay? And so that's what's going on here with Paul. This church is helping support Paul so that he can survive. And so he's saying, hey, thank you for your gift. Thank you that you were able to do what you were able to do. And then he points out that I've known that you've wanted to help me out for a long time. It's just that you were not able to. And part of that reason why they weren't able to is simply because of distance. As you can imagine, the Roman Empire, they didn't have planes, trains, and you couldn't just jump in a car and drive somewhere and deliver something, okay? They didn't have FedEx, they didn't have UPS, they didn't have any of that, okay, like we have today. This was a big, big deal to them to send a guy to travel from Philippi to Rome. In fact, the trip from Philippi to Rome was about 2 to 3 months. All right, can you picture a trip that long where you're constantly traveling? You're not enjoying it. It's not vacation. It's a trip. And so you have to find somebody who is able to take 2 or 3 months off work and from their normal schedule. And then the journey, the trip was actually known for being a pretty dangerous trip. It was dangerous to do that. In fact, we know from chapter 2 in this letter that on this trip, the guy who did it is this guy named Epaphroditus, right, who's from Philippi, who's delivering this money to Paul so that he could feed himself. We know that Epaphroditus, he actually almost died during this trip getting to Rome because he got super, super, super sick. And so that's the kind of thing that would happen. And so Paul, he's just reminding them, and we see this at the beginning of the letter, and then he wraps it up at the end here. He's just reminding them. He says, hey, I just want to let you know, thank you for what you guys have done for me. He says, I don't say this out of need, for I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I find myself, right? He's saying, I'm not saying I want more cash, that I'm looking for more gifts. It's not why I'm trying to thank you. I'm not trying to butter you up or anything like that. He's like, it's actually the opposite. Now, for us living today, I feel like we all understand the general idea of like, okay, yeah, I know, like I need to be content. Like that's a good thing. I get that. Like, of course, God's going to want me to be content, whatever it might be, right? By the way, can I just point this out real quick? Contentment, like don't misinterpret contentment with laziness, right? Those are two separate things. It's not that, well, I'm content, so I don't push myself to do anything. so I'm just laying here on the couch doing my thing. You know, that's not what contentment is, right? But for us as Christians, as long as we have work to do, as long as we have stuff to do, which we do, as long as there are lost people, right, we should never be satisfied with certain things in this world. We should never be satisfied with our relationship with God, all right? We should always be running and striving for better and better and better and grow deeper and deeper and deeper with a relationship with our Creator that He desperately wants us to have and that we were created to have. Right, we should never be satisfied with the sin in this world, knowing that the world is fallen and broken, and we should always be pushing back against that in the right ways. Right, we should never be satisfied with the size of our church family, for example, because we're always inviting. This is a place for everybody. It's not just us. It's not closed off. We want as many people as possible to join our family and to find the hope and peace that they can find in Jesus, right? And so we should never be satisfied with those types of things. But when it comes to contentment, we are to be content with what God gives us. We are to be content in the situation that God allows us to go through. And I think for most of us in here, on the surface level, we're like, well, yeah, I'm content. I mean, I'm pretty satisfied with my life. I'm pretty content with the things that I got going on in my life. Like, I got a pretty generally good life. But what I'm asking you today is just think about it. Dig below the surface. Are you? Like, are you actually, truly content? Or for you, are there just a bunch of things in life that just bothers you? All right, for a variety of reasons, because things don't go the way that you plan, or there's things that aren't done your way, or maybe for you, you have all these goals that just aren't accomplished in life, and that those just kind of weigh you down and stress you out, or something like that. Like, are you? See, I think one of the best ways to find out how content you are, kind of just to examine ourselves, which we should be doing, is let me ask you this. Do you ever find yourself once in a while, like hardly ever, because you guys are good people. Well, I like you guys, right? You're good. You're my church family here. I'm assuming the answer is no, but do you ever once in a while find yourself complaining? You ever complain about anything? Like, not you, right? Like, yeah. If you ever find yourself complaining about stuff, I'm just saying, right? Like, ever? Like, about your job, we wouldn't complain about our job. Or a boss, no way, all right? Especially Mike, you better not, okay? Or your husband, or your wife, we'd never complain about our spouse, or our kids. Our kids never do anything that we would ever complain about, okay, right? Or this week, specifically, the weather, okay? Or politicians, or the prices of everything, right? Or the refs, okay, whatever it might be. Like, we would never complain about any of those things. See, if you ever complain, if you ever find yourself, maybe once in a while, like hardly ever, but it does pop up once in a while in your life, right? If you ever find yourself complaining or with a complaint, I'm just saying, you have a contentment issue, right? That's a symptom of not being content. This week, I think this was on Tuesday, we woke up and realized that our furnace was not working. Does that ever happen? Okay, we're just like, oh man, it's cold and it's getting colder. And so we had somebody come out and look at it and stuff. Actually, it's Rich Bishop. He's one of us. He goes here. He's in first service. And he's coming, he kind of looked it all over, and there's a part that we had to get, and we needed to drive up to Toledo to get this part. It's kind of a long thing. So basically, for this week, we had 2 days that we just didn't have any heat. In fact, on Wednesday morning, I woke up and I walked downstairs, looked at the thermostat. The temperature in our house was 32, okay? It was cold. All right, that's cold, man. I mean, at the beginning, I was like, hey, man, we don't need heat for 2 days. We'll save money on gas. That sounds pretty good. You know, we're Ohioans. We're Northerners. All right, this will teach my kids to be tough. Kate, you know, not so as tough. You know, but I'm like, we'll figure this out. This is what we're, you know, me and my boys, we're men. And Lizzie and Kate, they're just drug along for the ride. when you get up in the morning, it's 32 in your house, and you have to wear shoes because it's freezing. And in fact, Kate, she tried to charge her phone, and her phone said, this is how you know it's cold, her phone said it was something like delayed charging because of extreme temperatures. That was on her counter. You learn things, you can't defrost meat, all right? That doesn't happen. Not normally, you can't just set it out or anything. In fact, I was thinking, I was like, well, she was telling me, yeah, our meat didn't defrost. I'm like, well, yes, yeah, below freezing. I don't think it can, you know? And I'm like, actually, you could put it in the fridge. It's actually warmer in the refrigerator than it is out here. All right, not ideal situation. All right, but as we walk through that, you know, I'm thinking, it's like, it's hard for us to stay content. It's hard to do that. It's hard to live without going, it's cold in here, you know? It's freezing. Oh, it's so cold. Like, even sometimes it's not even complaining. It's not even the words we use. Sometimes it's just the grunts we do. You get what I'm saying? All right? See, if you're like me, it is hard to stay content. Right? There's so many things that happen that go wrong in life. And by the way, when things go wrong in your life, guess what? That's life. That's just how life is. We live in a broken world, so we should expect it. God never, never, never promises that we're going to have great, easygoing, perfect, nothing goes wrong lives. In fact, Jesus actually tells us the opposite. When he says, hey, if you become a Christian, expect things to get hard, okay? So we should be expecting that as Christians, right? But when we go through life and things don't just measure up for us, see, if you're like me, good Christian people, this is what we do. We end up justifying why it's okay for us not to be content. And the way we justify is we always point to our circumstances. You get what I'm saying? All right, so this week, when I'm complaining about it being cold, what am I pointing at? I'm like, our furnace is broke, all right? That's the circumstance. That's the situation. So it's cold. I don't like it. And so we complain about it. We're not content about it. And this is how you might know. Like, maybe some of you guys, you're sitting here right now, you're just like, well, Zach, you don't understand what I'm going through. And that's true. You don't know what my family's like. You don't know my story. Like, in most situations, man, I think I'm pretty content. Like, I got it pretty good. Like, you know, I don't complain about stuff, and I keep it all in and all that stuff. But this situation is different, right? Like, I have a right to be discontent because my friend or my brother or my ex-wife, they're doing great in life, and my life just doesn't seem to add up. Like, everything seems to work out for them. But for me, everything just seems to go wrong. I feel like I deserve better than what I got. Like, this just isn't fair. And I just want to point out, like, you think your life's bad? You think you've had some hard situations in your life? Let me tell you about some of the circumstances that Paul went through, who, by the way, is the one who's telling us to be content. In fact, in a letter to another church in a huge city, this is a different letter, to the city called Corinth, this is the second time that he writes them, he actually explains to him, he says, hey, man, I have been beaten more times than I could count, okay? He talks about being in constant dangers of death. This is what he says in 2 Corinthians 11. He says, 5 times I received the 40 lashes minus one from the Jews. See, this was the Romans and the Jews. Back then, they were so good at torturing people or getting people on the brink of death and then bringing them back, is that they knew that if you received 40 lashes, that most men would die, okay? And so what they did was they would give you 39 lashes and you'd probably live. And so here's Paul, he's saying, I had the 39 lashes, not once, not twice, not 3 times, 5 times in my life. I was on the brink of death that God allowed me to go through. He says, 3 times I was beaten with rods. All right, I don't know about you, I don't want to get beaten with a rod, okay? He was beaten 3 times. He says, once I received a stoning. That's not cool. He says, 3 times I was shipwrecked. I've spent a night and a day in the open sea just holding on to debris, not knowing if I was going to drown at any time. He says, on frequent journeys, I faced dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my own people, the Jewish people. I bet that hurt. He says, also dangers from the Gentiles. These are non-Jewish people. He says, I faced dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers at the sea, and dangers among false brothers, all right? You get his point here, all right? He's gone through all of this stuff. He has faced dangers. He's faced toil and hardship. He's had many sleepless nights. He knows what it's like to be hungry. He knows what it's like to be thirsty. He knows what it's like to be without food. He knows what it's like to be cold, and so do I now, okay? And he knows what it's like to be without clothing, where he's got nothing. In fact, one time, Paul tells us, about a time where he gets sick or something's going on. We don't quite know. He describes it as like a thorn in his side. Something's going on. He's in extreme pain. And so what does he do as a good Christian guy, right? Like what we should do. He goes to God and he begs God. He's like, hey, God, please take this away, all right? This doesn't seem good. Like, it's prohibiting me on like helping reaching people. It's like getting in my way. Like, it's an obstacle. Like, hey, God, could you please fix this? He goes to God multiple times. You know what God says? No. You realize God's allowed to say no, right? Sometimes we don't get that. Sometimes we're like, well, what's God doing? All right. Well, God, you know, does God hear me? Does God see me? Is God ignoring me? You know, sometimes we just got to realize that sometimes God is allowed to say no to us. Like he said no to Paul. On top of that, Paul says, I've gone through all that through my life. I've been in some pretty negative situations. He says, not to mention all the other things. He says, there is the daily pressure on me. You ever feel that? Maybe at work, maybe you got some responsibility, right, where you just got this daily pressure on you. He says, I have all this concern for all of the churches. So Paul, up until this point, including this Philippian church, including this church in Corinth, he has started all these churches throughout the Roman Empire, and these churches are facing hardship, meaning some of them are getting killed because they believe in Jesus. It's a pretty big deal. And Paul's like, I have all that weighing on my shoulders. How's this church doing? How are they doing? Are they standing strong? He's like, I got to think about this all the time. It's not like they could just check Instagram or Facebook or Snapchat or whatever and like check it out and say, oh, they seem to be doing pretty good. No, he has to wait. Like there's time involved there. He can't get instant gratification of knowing that somebody's okay or that this happened or that happened. News traveled slowly. And so he has all this pressure to care for all the people in all these different churches throughout the Roman Empire that's just weighing on him over and over and over again. And he's doing this, again, as he's writing from prison. See, if anyone had a good excuse to complain about their circumstances, I'm just saying, might not be me, it's Paul. But what does he say? He says, I don't say this out of need. Again, this is repeating. He says, for I have learned to be content. He's like, I learned to be content in whatever circumstances I find. Paul's like, man, I've been through some rough circumstances. All right, I've been through some stuff, but God has called me to still be content in my life. Even though my circumstances are not ideal, which none of ours are, he's saying, I need to be content. Now, the question is, how do we do that? Right? Like, how do I, okay, so I understand, Zach, that that's what God wants me to do. I get that. All right, but like, how do I do it? How do I get to that point? Not like sometimes, all right, it's easy to be content sometimes, but like in every situation, how is that possible? But actually, Paul already answered this. Check this out. He says he learned it. It's not something that just happened. It's something that he had to learn. Now, if you have to learn to be content, that means that contentment is not natural for you or me, right? You have to learn it. You're not born with it. I mean, have you ever met a content baby, all right? Like maybe for a minute or two, okay? Depending on their circumstances, right? It's all about circumstances for a baby, but it's not going to be long. They're going to be crying again because they're hungry or they're tired and they got a mess for you to clean up, okay? Those are the three things. And so you got to figure that stuff out. And then what do? You take care of whatever the need is. You change the baby's circumstances, and then the baby is good for a little while. But it doesn't take long until that baby is crying again, right? We are not born content. By the way, here at Grace, we got a lot of babies. That's cool, all right? There's not that many churches around that have babies. And so I just want to let you know, sometimes I wonder this. If some of your moms, you got your baby to cry a little bit, you know, that does not bother me whatsoever, okay? I just want to let you know, they're part of our church family, just like you. It's totally cool. And you know who also doesn't bother? It doesn't bother the rest of the parents in here, okay? Because we all been there before. What we do as parents, we look at them, we're like, oh, that's a nice looking baby. And then we go, so glad I don't have one of those anymore. You know what I mean? We've been there. See, we're not naturally born content, right? It's something that you have to work for. It's something you got to train yourself to do. It's something you got to practice at. I mean, think about it. Here's Paul. Paul's maybe the best Christian to ever have lived, you know, at this point. Here's Paul. Paul's saying, it's not just because I'm an easygoing guy. It's not because he's just got this great personality. Paul's like, nah, it wasn't like that. I had to learn it. Meaning we have to learn it. He then says, see, I know how to make do with a little. Okay, some of us, we know how to do that. He says, and I know how to make do with a lot. He says, in any and all circumstances. Okay, so if you got some circumstance or situation that you got going on right now, here today, right, that's cool. We probably all do to a certain extent. I just want to let you know, if you want to know if this applies to you, right, if your circumstance falls into the all category, all right, then this, then you can apply it to you. If it doesn't, then it's fine, okay? He says, in any and all circumstances, he says, I have learned the secret of being content, whether well-fed or hungry, whether in abundance or need. Here he is. He's saying, I know how to be content, whether I'm wealthy, right? And Paul had been wealthy at one point. I mean, Paul, when he was young, before he was a Christian, he was young, he was affluent, he was wealthy, he was kind of the rising star. He was the next it when it came to religion and Judaism amongst the rich religious people in Israel, okay? He was the next it. Everybody knew him. He was well known. He also says, but I also know how to be content with nothing, which is what he's experiencing at this moment that he's writing the letter. He says, I know how to be content when I had more food than I could ever need, which is probably all of us in here, right? And he says, but I also know how to be content when I was starving, something he's probably experiencing at this point. You see what he's doing here, by the way? You see what's going on here? This is what I want you, this is what we got to understand. Here's the secret, okay? You ready? You're not ready enough. You ready? Yeah. Okay, here's the deal. Contentment is not in any way related to your circumstances. Think about that for a second. Contentment as a Christian is not in any way related to your circumstances. Here's Paul, and he's saying, this is what I learned, is that either way, right? If I have wealth, that's awesome. Then I consider none of it truly mine, and I will use that wealth to reach others for Jesus. And if I have nothing, that's great too, because then I can trust in God to provide for all my needs, by the way, not always, my wants, and I will do whatever I possibly can to reach others for Jesus. It doesn't really matter which takes place. He's saying it doesn't matter if everyone loves me or hates me, or if I'm healthy or sick or comfortable or uncomfortable, or if everything works in life the way that I want it to, or just nothing seems to work and everything seems to always go wrong. He's saying, I've learned to be content in everything. Circumstances just don't matter because they don't affect my contentment. And then right after he says this, which is kind of a bombshell for us, he says, I am able to do all things through him who strengthens me. I don't think there is more misquoted verse in the entire Bible. We hear this verse all the time. All right, basically, I could do anything with God's help. All right, people, we want to apply this verse to everything. We can see this on T-shirts and tattoos and Christian athletes wearing this. You know, they got this painted on their face, and we memorize this verse to, you know, get ourselves pumped up. You know, you're in the gym or whatever it might be. All right, this is so taken out of context here. Like, here's the deal. Like, there are things that I can't do, okay? This verse is evidence that I can. The context, what Paul is actually saying here, is he's talking about contentment. This word, all things, what might actually be better translated, it might be better translated from the original language as all these things. What are these things? What are these things that he's talking about? Well, he's talking about all of these circumstances. Right? He's talking about, he just mentioned, whether I have a lot or a little. Whether I am wealthy or poor, whether I am full or hungry, whether I'm healthy or sick, right? What he's saying is, he's saying we can be content. What I've learned is that I can be content in whatever circumstances is thrown my way through him who strengthens me. Because God's there and he's going to help me, and that's what God wants, and he will strengthen me to do this. Now, this is not Jesus will strengthen me to be the CEO someday. Could he? Of course he could, sure. Right? This is the attitude. This is different. This is the attitude of whether I'm the CEO or not, Jesus will give me the strength to be content. Meaning if you get the bonus or you get let go, you are content. Whether you beat the cancer or the cancer comes back, you choose to be content. It doesn't matter to us because as a Christian, our contentment is never connected to our circumstances. See, that's the change in perspective that we have to learn. That's the change in perspective that Paul learned, and he's saying, this is what you need to learn. That's the secret that Paul is talking about. But that's not how we think. See, we think, if I could just have that house, if I could just have that job, if I gotta have a car that doesn't break down all the time, if I could fit in that pair of pants, all right, if I could have that extra bedroom and the half bath, that'd be great, all right? If I gotta have that property and some acreage and a shop, that'd be awesome, all right? That's how we think. And we think if I had all that, we'd be content. That's just not how stuff works. See, we understand when it comes to, like, stuff, we know we can't take that with us, right? We're not so sure. Okay, that is true. Okay? We think maybe that's right. You're going to die someday, right? Probably. And what happens to all your good stuff? Some of you guys, you got some good stuff. All right, I got some good stuff. There's stuff that I have that I like, okay? What happens to all our good stuff? The kids get it. What do the kids do with it? They don't want your good stuff, so they sell it on pennies on the dollar. That's what they do. And when they're selling it, what do they do as they're going through all your good stuff, right? They're laughing and they're making fun of you the whole time. Like, I can't believe they still got this, you know, like that type of thing. You know it's true because some of you guys did it, all right, with your parents. It's just how it works. See, life is filled with frustrating situations. We think stuff will make us content. We think better circumstances will help us be content, but that's just not how it works. Those things are just not connected. They're not meant to be connected. See, we as Christians, we are to be content. Why? Because God takes care of us, doesn't always provide all of our wants, but he provides all of our needs. And because of that, we're able to go through any circumstances, all of these circumstances, all things, all circumstances at all times through him who strengthens me. And so this week, well, my challenge for you is to work on the complaining, work on the contentment, right? Complaining is just a symptom, right? Especially this week when it's going to be cold. Perfect timing for that. Some of you Notre Dame fans are going to have a hard week this week. I know that's true. But when school doesn't go the way you want it to go, when things happen at work that you're not happy about, we as Christians are to be content because those things are not connected with our contentment. Let's pray. God, we thank you for these words. And this stuff is easier said than done. It's not easy for us to be content. It's not natural for us. It's something we got to learn. And God, you're telling us that. Lord, obviously we cannot do this on our own. And the only way we can do this is through your help, which you promise to do. You promise to give us the strength to be content in any circumstance. And God, we thank you for that. Help us to learn to do that. Not just talk about it, not just think about it, but actually do it. And it's an attitude inside of us. Sometimes that's the hardest thing to change. And God, we ask that you would do that. We ask that you would help us. We need it, that's for sure. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.